from California. How you doing, Paul?
Just great, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Listen, thank you very much for allowing me to come on your show. I think we have some very important things to announce, and I want to let you know that this is happening in real time live on your show. I am about to push the send button on a very important email. In fact, I will copy you on it so you can read it, and I will forward it to you after I send it.
Please go ahead and tell us.
Seeking comments. And who are you talking to here is the San Francisco Department of Public Health. And what I'm outlining is 8 months of full stonewalling of them not actually addressing the excessive radio frequency microwave radiation exposures that are happening from so-called small wireless telecommunications facilities installed, six to 12 feet from second and third story building windows. And we have seen all the files and analyzed them, and we know these range up to 7,000 watts of effective radiated power.
Wow.
And this is just disastrous. And we unfortunately can report today one of the disasters. We know for sure, because it's scientifically established, that microwave radiation exposures at these levels has been scientifically established for melatonin suppression, immunosuppression, and immediate and direct neurological damages, as well as speeding the growth of cancerous tumors. We have a woman, Cheryl Hogan, very, very brave woman, who wrote an excellent appeal, and she was trying to make sure that the tower that was slated for right in front of her house would not get built. And she's a very special woman, and this is because her father, believe it or not, was the father of the creator of the microwave transistor. You can look him up, Clarence Lester Hogan. And he's the one that has the patent. He's the one that did it. He actually moved out of, I believe it was Intel, over to Fairchild. They got sued, but they beat the lawsuit for all those trade secrets that he did not steal. And he's been an honored member of the IEEE and many, many other professional societies. This is her father. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor last week, a fast-growing brain tumor. She did not have that diagnosis in November of 2019 when they turned on the tower. She had that tumor removed this morning in San Francisco, and we will be visiting her hopefully tomorrow. She's still in the ICU. She warned them completely of what could happen from such an installation. I was at her house on November 20th, and I took the pictures of this tower, and I took the measurements from this tower. And it's out of this world. It's ridiculous. What's happening inside her place of where she lives? So this is exactly what we have to do. We have to report this as endangerment. That's what this is. And good for her, in her appeal back in June of 2019, we have in her appeal exactly those words. And if it's okay, I'll read them to you. It's only a few paragraphs. Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to email you this in a second. It is beyond any rational dispute that kids' skulls are thinner and more pliant and that we humans literally get harder in the head as we age. It's also beyond rational dispute that due to this frailty, kids' brains are more at risk from radiation. This factor has been widely recognized, including expression of this fact about cellular exposure from the American Academy of Pediatrics, as can be seen at several links that was provided. This is consistent with other scientific findings showing that kids are more at risk, for example, showing these other links. Allowance of dense urban distribution of 4G/5G antennas, because you realize they're all 4G plus 5G. There's no such thing as just 5G. You get that, right?
Right.
4G is the 100% on surveillance frequencies that locate the 5G antennas, and then once they find them, that's when they hit them with a beam of data. But your 4G is on 24/7. Always on, always surveilling. That's how it works. That's the real danger here, because it's always on. 5G is intermittent. It comes and goes. The 4G stuff's always on. So the antennas cannot avoid the placement of these towers immediately adjacent, as in this case where I live, to people's sleeping quarters, including children. One site specifically known to me will put a small cell, quote-unquote, tower within perhaps 15 feet of a youngster's bedroom. This one is 12 feet from her room. respectfully and including as to the use of the penal statute as a template from the city's civil liability, such placement, if children are based on the science placed at risk, appears to violate the spirit and intent and likely the letter of the law of California Penal Code, Chapter 273A. Endangerment doesn't just happen for children. It happens for adults as well. And so when this kind of installation is occurring, these are acts of endangerment. And these acts of endangerment are really laid out quite nicely in the medical licenses of people who work in the Departments of Public Health in San Francisco. They are medical doctors. And when they are told of endangering conditions, they have a legal duty to report those endangering conditions. And we told Dr. Tomas Aragon in San Francisco about this endangering condition on October 22, 2019. I looked him in the eye, and I gave him this appeal, and I pointed out that paragraph, and I read it to him. And I said, "Sir, will you please report this endangering condition?" And he said, "Oh, well, I don't know where to do that." And I said, "Well, I'm sure you'll figure it out, but we'll be following up." And then I left his meeting after an hour. We had presented excellent information to him, myself and Dr. Trevor Marshall, and we gave him substantial written evidence in the public record of why he should be now exercising the city's duties and obligations to regulate the effective radiated power coming off of these very close-in antennas. You have to actually regulate all three, vertical, horizontal, and power, in order to do anything. We'll get to that in a second. Well, I actually then went over to the Board of Supervisors, and in the public record, I reported this incident to the County Board, San Francisco County Board of Supervisors. You see, San Francisco is both a city and a county. Okay, it's one and the same. So they don't really have a city council. They've got a County Board of Supervisors. And I told them that it really didn't make any difference whether somebody was killed quickly or slowly. The outcome's the same. Someone leaves the earth prematurely. And in this case, we have an endangering condition. And the police had come to that event that night to talk about how too many people of color, African Americans, were getting gunned down by the police, and this should not be happening. And we wanted to give those people a seat at the table to figure out a way to solve the problem. And so we talked about that. But we also talked about a decision that the Board of Supervisors made on July 25th of that year, and that was to eliminate any of the appeals that the people of San Francisco had in any due process to stop the installation of these small cells. Well, these appeals continued on for a while because, you know, they had been accepted in the months prior to that, and Cheryl Hogan's appeal was one of them. And so I then went over to this chief of police. I said, "Excuse me, I have an endangering condition. What should this city employee do?" And he got me right the name number of the person in the police department that doctor should be reporting that to. And I thanked him very much. And I announced that in my second public comment in the public record, all on October 22nd, 2019. Today, I have informed Dr. Thomas Aragon I'm looking for the evidence of him reporting the endangering condition. If he hasn't, and his boss, who's also an MD, haven't, well, their medical licenses are now at risk. This is where we are. We have to actually sit down and figure out who is responsible and what do we need to do in order to hold them accountable and responsible for endangering us through political reasons? I don't get it. But what we're not going to let them do is get away with it and just go quietly into the night. When your friends get gunned down like this, you got to do something. You can't just sit back. So I'm about to send the send button here to Brett Andrews. Who is he? He's the press person for the San Francisco Department of Health. You can reach him at brett.andrew@sfdph.org. Anybody want to email the guy? Feel free. If you want to call him, I'll give you his phone number, 415-206-6995. Why don't you go ahead and tell him what you think about what I'm talking about.
Say that again, the telephone number.
Yeah, his phone number is 415-206-6995. And you'll hear on his outgoing message that, hey, if it's an emergency, which I consider this to be, you're welcome to reach him on his cell phone, which I did call. And I reached him at this number, 415-530-1199. 415-530-1199. dot Andrew, A-N-D-R-E-W, at sfdph.org. That's for San Francisco Department of Public Health, sfdph.org. I think it's time to bury these people with our protest to say, do something. We deserve to have the quiet enjoyment of streets protected in our neighborhoods. We deserve to not have that amount of electromagnetic noise forced into our interior environments for the enrichment of private companies. Completely unnecessary. So we need to demand our rights now and be able to protect our public rights away and protect our homes. And we can't do that by talking amongst each other and debating what is the best theory back and forth. No. You can only do that by going out and demanding change directly in the front door of your city councils. The buck stops with your city councils or county board of supervisors. That's where it stops. And that's about cooperative federalism. So why don't we all just hold hands, take a deep breath here. I'm about to hit the press send button. I'm here at 4:43 on the California time, and I'm now sending it. Goodbye. It's out.
All right.